Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions and the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Very good evening to everyone. This is Eben, and station Spirit 88.3 FM. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way. And from now till 9:30, I'm going to be with you, talk about some of the news and the things happening. Tonight, you can summarize the theme of tonight's edition as making sense of what is happening. And I doubt I can finish tonight, but we'll see. Maybe God willing, next week we'll continue. But a lot is happening. But are we able to really understand what is happening, the factors behind it, the dynamics behind and all? Tonight I'll be talking about some of them. And a lot is happening, but it's not everything we can talk about. But as much as we can, tonight we see how best we go through. But first, with the news, the world is just something else now, and it's not going to get any better. If anyone promises you that this world is going to get better and things are going to improve and all that, no, please. The world is not going to get any better. And what we are seeing is the beginning of still the worst ahead. So if, like, every day is the best we can have, because the next time, the next week, things get worse. And that's how the world is, and clearly it's biblical, because the times of the end are not going to be easy periods, and that's what the Bible says. We'll talk about it. But well, interesting days, the news, so many things happening. Sometimes what to use, what to pick and leave and all, but still manage to pick the most important one as led by the Spirit to use. Well, so we have a strong magnitude 6.7 earthquake rocks Nicaragua coast, and this was a powerful one which struck the western coast of Nicaragua. A whole lot of others. So if you go to usgs.gov, usgs.gov, you will see the number of quakes that have happened today, all week, and you'll be amazed. A lot is happening. See, the fact that things, you don't see it on CNN and all that. Most times when, it's only when like it hits in a city and then destruction, people die, that's when it becomes like a main news. But a lot is happening every day, and most are not even causing any destruction. So it's like, it doesn't really make it to the news. But well, it's all signs of the times we are in. Then, if you've been following the news, Israel has really been in the news regarding the tension with the Palestinians in recent weeks. And Arab League calls on Israel to stop Jewish prayers at Alaska Mosque. And this can be something else. A whole big issue can come out of this, because the Arab League called on Israel on Thursday to end Jewish prayers inside the compound of Islam's third holiest shrine in East Jerusalem, warning it was a flagrant affront to Muslim feelings that could trigger a wider conflict. According to the Jerusalem Post, they said while Israel was restricting the right of worship of Muslims in Jerusalem's old city, ultra-nationalist Jews under police protection were being allowed at the height of the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan to enter the Al-Aqsa compound. And then, sitting atop the world old city plateau, the site is known to Muslims as Haram al-Sharif, that's noble sanctuary, and to Jews as the Temple Mount, the holiest site in Judaism, where they believe two ancient temples were located. The League broke its silence on Thursday on recent violent events at Al-Aqsa Mosque, saying Israel had restricted Muslims in their right of worship in Jerusalem's old city, whilst also allowing the ultra-nationalist Jews to enter the sacred sites under police protection. Our demands are clear that Al-Aqsa and Haram al-Sharif in all its area is a sole place of worship for Muslims. Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayram Safdadi told reporters an emergency meeting of the League in Amman, in Jordan. The meeting was called to discuss what the League termed illegal Israeli policies and measures in Jerusalem. Arab League Chief Ahmed Abdul Gait said Israel was violating a centuries-old policy according to which non-Muslims may visit the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, but they must not pray there. Israeli riot police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound last week, during which at least 158 Palestinians were wounded and hundreds were detained. You know, this thing, it's been back and forth over the years, but it can really turn something nasty. And but this week, well, we all know the Ukrainian war, Ukrainian-Russia war is still ongoing, day 50-something, whatever. But this week, there was something big that happened. Putin has just test-fired a Satan nuclear missile, the world's most powerful missile, which can destroy UK, and this is a warning to those who threaten Russia. Russia has successfully launched its Satan II missile, capable of firing up to 12 nuclear warheads at once. This is serious. Hey, I mean, you know, you just wonder how people can be so evil in their inventions. And so one missile is fired, but it can have 12 nuclear warheads. That's serious. Vladimir Putin has claimed, this was after they did the launch of the Samat intercontinental ballistic missile, which give, quote, food for thought for those who try to threaten Russia, according to the Russian president, as he warned. So the missile, nicknamed Satan II, can fly 6,000 miles and carry 12 warheads, and has the potential to destroy an area the size of France. It was successfully launched from the Cosmodrome in another area. Then that's the northwestern Russia, according to Russian state media outlet RIA Novosti. And then video shows the enormous 115-foot missile being launched from an underground silo, triggering an enormous fireball. It traveled almost the entire length of Russia, almost 3,600 miles, in just 15 minutes. That's seriously fast. Traveled 3,600 miles in 15 minutes. So the Kremlin claims the unmatched 16,000 miles per hour missile, which has been in development for years, could destroy the UK, hit any target on Earth, and carry 12 nuclear warheads. It's among Russia's next-generation missiles that Putin has called invincible, and which also include the Kinzhal and Avangard hypersonic missiles. Putin was shown on TV being briefed by the military that the missile expected to go into service this year had been launched from the country's northwest and hit targets in the Kamchatka Peninsula in the Far East. He told the army, quote, "I congratulate you on the successful launch of the SAMR intercontinental ballistic missile. This truly unique weapon will threaten the combat potential of our armed forces, reliably ensure the security of Russia from external threats, and make those who, in the heat of aggressive rhetoric, try to threaten our country think twice," unquote. Wow. Interesting. It's serious. Because if you look at a missile that can carry 12 payloads, warheads, nuclear capable, this world is in trouble in the times ahead. All right, so the next headline says there have been 16 major fires that have erupted at key food industry facilities in the U.S. since beginning of 2022. I first saw this report. A cousin posted it in her family WhatsApp group. At first I said, oh, how? So I did my own research, then I got this article on it. But most of these things, the mainstream news networks, they won't cover it. But the worrying thing is, you can see, it raises questions. Is it just coincidental that in a year where there's a food crisis, you can have big fires, 16 major, all food industry related? And it's all influencing the prices of food in the U.S. and the shortages on the shelves and all. And some really believe that, you see, clearly there's an agenda behind the scenes instigating and pushing these things to the brink. And let me finish reading and then I will talk a bit about it again. Can anyone explain why absolutely massive fires just keep erupting again and again at critical facilities all over America? The tragic destruction by fire of the headquarters of Azuri Standard in Oregon shocked millions of people. And since that news broke, quite a few readers have been reaching out about the long string of unusual blazes that we've been witnessing from coast to coast in recent months. So this phenomenon, this reporter says he looked into the phenomenon for himself and he's sharing what he discovered for this article. And then Dr. Benjamin Braddock and others have already dug into this, and their research proved quite valuable as I began my investigations. With all that being said, the following is a list of 16 major fires that have occurred at key food industry facilities in the U.S. since the start of 2022. Of course, it's not unusual for there to be fires at food industry facilities, and fire departments are accustomed to responding to such fires and putting them out. But in many of these cases, we are talking about absolutely uncontrollable fires that seem to erupt very suddenly. And in many of these cases, the firefighters that responded were not able to save the structures because the fires were so enormous. Needless to say, the collective loss of all these facilities will make the coming food shortages that I've been warning about have extensive and make it quite worse. And this week I read another one which was also worrying because the biggest fertilizer manufacturer in Northern America, they manufacture urea and those other components. Normally they ship it by rail to the farming states and towns within the U.S. The company says they got a message from Union Pacific, that's the rail company, that they will not be able to carry the quantity of their supplies any longer. And according to the company, this order also affects 30 other companies, which are all farming-related and food-related. So the worrying thing is, at a time when the farmers need the fertilizer to do the planting, now you have this real company says you can't carry them. And it's like, you can see a systemic agenda intentionally causing a problem. You see, if you follow what is happening, you realize these are planned things we are seeing unfolding right before us. I'll get into it more. You let me finish the news. Then we have the next one is about China, and it's quite worrying. The headline is, this was on CNN Business, "The biggest risk to the global economy no one is talking about." Nearly 400 million people across 45 cities in China are under full or partial lockdown as part of China's strict zero COVID policy. Together, they represent 40% or $7.2 trillion of annual gross domestic product for the world's second largest economy, according to data from Nomura Holdings. Analysts are ringing warning bells, but say investors aren't properly assessing how serious the global economic fallout might be from these prolonged isolation orders. Quote, "Global markets may still underestimate the impacts because much attention remains focused on the Russian-Ukraine conflict and the U.S. Federal Reserve rate hikes," unquote, according to Liu Ting, Nomura's chief China economist and colleagues wrote in a note last week. Most alarming is the indefinite lockdown of Shanghai, a city of 25 million and one of China's premier manufacturing and export hub. The quarantines there have led to food shortages, inability to access medical care, and even report pet killings. They also left the largest port in the world understaffed. And see, so you can see the problem when it comes to supply chains. The port of Shanghai, which handled over 20% of China's freight traffic in 2021, is essentially at a standstill. Food supplies stuck in shipping containers without access to refrigeration are rotting. And then incoming cargo is now stuck at Shanghai marine terminals for an average of 8 days before it's transported elsewhere, a 75% increase since the recent round of lockdowns began. Export storage time has fallen, and that's likely because there are no new containers being sent to the docks from warehouses, according to supply chain visibility platform Project 44. Cargo lines, airlines have cancelled all flights in and out of the city, and more than 90% of trucks supporting import and export deliveries are currently out of action. Shanghai produces 6% of China's exports, according to government statistical yearbook for 2021, and factory closures in and around the city are further rattling supply chains. Sony and Apple supplier plants in and around Shanghai are idle. Quanta, the world's biggest contract notebook manufacturer and a MacBook maker, has stopped production entirely. The plant accounts for about 20% of Quanta's notebook production capacity, and the company previously estimated it would ship 72 million units this year. Tesla has shuttered its Shanghai Giga factory, which produce about 2,000 electric cars a day. On Friday, China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology said in a statement that it sent a task force to Shanghai to work on a plan to resume production at 666 key manufacturers in a locked down city. Tesla executives hope they will be allowed to resume or reopen their doors by Monday. And then it's quite a lengthy article. But then the import of the article, or the fact that the supply chain crisis that was experienced last year and last 2 years, is re-emerging because, you know, the world, China is, every country imports things from China, mostly. China. And if their lockdowns go on this way, becomes something else, the supply chain issues, and now the war, already the issues are escalating, then you have China not exporting some things, not exporting food. So you see, with a lot of things that come from there, that means other countries that expect and depend on them are going to run out, and then they will not get replacements and all. You see, a lot of these things seem far away, but so far as we are in a global village, as they say, and they call it, when someone sneezes, eventually it's like we all catch the cold eventually. And that's how, see, the world economy is hinged, interconnected. So when you have the big players being affected heavily like this, it runs through the system, and it's just a matter of time. And then it affects other countries, and then the smaller ones too, who have issues with their economies, begin to really suffer. But the bottom line is, we should understand the times we are in and the crisis that the world is in. And I keep saying it is not going to get better. It looks like whenever things seem to be normalizing, then something hits and then it just worsens it again. When things seem to be normal, okay, then suddenly it just explodes and then it takes us to another level. That's the world we are in now. All right, so this one also from CNN Business. This measure of German inflation just hits its highest level since 1949. That's a serious record set. The price of goods leaving German factories has passed an eye-watering milestone. German annual producer price inflation topped 30% in March. That is serious. The country's Federal Statistics Office said on Wednesday that's its highest level since the agency began collecting data 73 years ago. The biggest culprit, that's a big question, energy prices, which rose nearly 84% from the same month last year. Mainly responsible for the high price of energy prices were the strong price increases of natural gas, which was up 144.8% on March 2021, the Statistics Office said in a statement. It's one of the first signs of the huge impact Russia's invasion of Ukraine is having on the German economy, Europe's biggest. Producer prices rose by nearly 5% between February and March alone. Consumers should brace themselves. Factory gate inflation feeds into retail prices, and shoppers can expect to spend more on everything from furniture to meat, according to Wednesday's figures. German consumer price inflation is already at 41-year high, hitting 7.3% last month. Energy prices were the main contributor, up almost 40% from the previous month. Global energy prices were rising before Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered the invasion. As economies began to reopen from their pandemic lockdowns, demand for fuel surged and wholesale prices shot up. But Western sanctions on Russia's coal and oil exports and efforts by the European Union to slash consumption of its natural gas have pushed prices up even further. Germany has so far resisted an embargo on natural gas, and with good reason. According to International Energy Agency, the country relies on Russia for about 46% of its consumption. An abrupt break with its biggest supplier would likely trigger rationing and inflict severe damage on its energy-intensive manufacturing sector. Economy Minister Robert Habeck has already warned Germans that they will be poorer as a result of the war. They will be poorer as a result of the war. And this is the reality. It's not possible that this ends without costs for German society. It is unthinkable, he said last month. Scaring prices have rattled a country that has long prided itself in a stable economy, and that still carries a deep-rooted fear of the kind of hyperinflation of the 1920s and 1930s that is widely thought to have helped the Nazi Party rise to power. The European Central Bank has yet to raise interest rates to tame spiraling prices, unlike its counterparts in the United States and United Kingdom, and has resisted calls to specify a date when it will. ECB President Christine Lagarde said last week she needed to keep her options open, given the uncertain outlook for the region's economy, and reiterated that the bank would only raise the cost of borrowing after it winds down its purchase of government bonds at some point in the third quarter. A German manufacturer, Henkel, announced on Wednesday that it would cease operations in Russia. The $25 billion chemical and consumer goods giant said it would continue to pay its 2,500 workers in the country. The maker of Persil detergent did not say what financial impact its exit would have. This is serious. Germany, and you can see the numbers, inflation numbers and all that. See, and you ask yourself, so the sanctions that you've put on Russia, it comes back. It's like you throw a ball on the wall, it bounces back to you. So the final question is it really worth putting these sanctions on Russia in the first place? Because, yes, Russia is suffering, but now you are also suffering. So is it worth it that you also suffer? Well, that's a debatable question anyway. I mean, all right, so the next news. We have Putin demands Israel give Russia control of historic Jerusalem church. My mind cannot comprehend. When I read this news this afternoon, I realized Putin is really out to do something, because he's now looking for trouble there in Israel as well. Already last 2 weeks, the ambassador made a statement like attacking Israel and regarding their activities in Syria. And you see, but then this one takes the whole thing to another level. Let me finish the news so that you can understand what he's saying. Russian President Vladimir Putin has sent a letter to the Israeli government requesting that it transfer control of a historic church in Jerusalem to Russia's custody. And church, you know, what are they going to do with it? I mean, come on. The church of St. Alexander Nevsky was the subject of a letter recently sent by Putin to Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, according to Haaretz newspaper report on Wednesday. The church property, also known as Cathedral of the Holy Trinity, is located in the Christian quarter of Jerusalem's Old City and was once controlled by Tsarist Russia. Israel is said to be handling the matter, according to unnamed sources referenced in the raid. However, the sources did not provide further elaboration. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov earlier this week told the media that the church transfer is a major priority in the current diplomatic relations between Russia and Israel. The topic of Alexander's courtyard has long been at the top of the agenda of Russia-Israeli relations, stated Peskov, as reported by the Times of Israel. Quote, "We expect the Israeli leadership to assist us in order to complete the process as is necessary," unquote. Handing the church to Russia would be considered a controversial move in light of other nations enacting sanctions on Russia in response to its invasion of Ukraine. Former Russian Prime Minister Sergei Stepshin, who chairs the Imperial Orthodox Palestine Society, recently said that Russia is fighting for a return of the compound and it's very difficult, according to the Jerusalem Post. He believes Israel was playing both sides, playing ping-pong on the dispute. Named after a famous medieval Russian prince, the Nevsky Church is located near the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the holy site believed to be where Jesus' tomb was located. The Nevsky Church property was initially purchased by Tsar Alexander II in 1859 and remained under Russian control until 1917, the Russian Revolution, according to the Times of Israel. Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had agreed to return the property to Russia in 2020 in return for the Eastern European nation freeing an Israeli citizen being held on drug charges. The Orthodox Palestine Society of the Holy Land, which had owned the property, filed a suit with the Jerusalem District Court annulling the 2020 decision in a ruling last month. So now the big question is, what does Russia want the church for? I mean, I just can't get it. But you see, this is another way of seeking a provocative reason. And it's like, you know, Bible prophecy has to really come to pass indeed. You know, it's out of nowhere, this one just comes. And you have Russia now trying to get an issue against Israel. We are living in very interesting times indeed. Very, very interesting times indeed. Okay, let me finish these two news items. And these are very critical. Parents, please open your ears and open it wide, 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 wide. And then to me, please. All right. We have the first one that says, I mean, it's an acronym of an of it's just a group in the U.S., GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D. So GLAAD CEO calls for more LGBT stories in children's programming. A leading LGBT watchdog group, is urging Hollywood to incorporate more LGBT content into children's programming as it pushes back against a new Florida law that prohibits public school instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity for kids 9 years and younger. You know, the Florida law, I mean, I can see the noise from White House to Hollywood. The liberals are angry and all that. But you read the law makes sense. It's to protect children, children below 9 years. Why do you want to talk about all these abnormal sex things with them? The gender change and all. So the law is to protect children. And you know, from the White House down, they are all angry. So you realize this world is something else now. According to Variety, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, that's GLAAD, SEO, Sarah Kate Ellis, expressed her desire to see more LGBT representation in children's media during Saturday's GLAAD Media Awards at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. Don't wait until you are in the hot seat, Ellis said. There's no more time to sit on the sidelines. We need Hollywood on the front lines, fighting for our rights and telling our stories. Okay. The activist stated, the organization will soon convene the biggest brands, agencies, studios, and streamers together with two goals. One, to commit to improving the quantity, and diversity of LGBTQ images, especially in kids and family program. Let me repeat. The first goal, they have two goals. One, to commit to improving the quantity, quality, and diversity of LGBTQ images, especially in kids and family programming. Can you imagine this? And two, to speak out against anti-LGBTQ legislation in favor of rights like the Equality Act, unquote. Ellis' organization in 2019 called for 20% of all television tests to be LGBT by the year 2025. Meg Keegan-Nunn, the senior fellow for education studies at the social conservative lobbying organization Family Research Council, told the Christian Post that GLAAD making such an announcement at its annual awards event in Los Angeles should be taken very seriously. This is essentially the same thing for them as an announcement from the pulpit is to us as Christians. Keegan-Nunn said, they are telling you this is their faith, and they will make sure their children are. Their children are catechized in it, and not only their own children, but they are going to try to catechize our children in it as well. GLAAD's recent push for LGBT representation in children programming comes after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the Parental Rights in Education law. The law prohibits classroom instruction on gender identity and sexual orientation for children in kindergarten through to third grade and requires schools to inform parents about changes in services that would impact their child's well-being. In her public remarks Saturday, Ellis criticized the Florida bill, appearing to use its passage as a reason to focus on sharing an LGBT message through kids' content. Quote, in just one day, on March 8th, the Florida Senate passed the Don't Say bill, which was signed into law this past week, she said. The South Dakota Senate passed a bill that bans discussion of divisive concepts like race and sex in college courses. The Idaho House of Representatives passed a bill that will send librarians to jail if they let minors check out books that include LGBTQ topics. And the New Jersey Supreme Court denied an appeal that would bar a religious organization from offering so-called conversion therapy. This all happened not in 1 month, not in 1 week, but all in 1 day. Ellis continued, I expect every industry executive in this room to join us. GLAAD will give you the playbook, but we won't give you a pass. In a statement Wednesday, mental health professional Robin Akins told CP, that's Christian Post, that exposing children to adult sexual preferences could negatively impact their well-being. Quote, children do not have the necessary cognitive skills nor the life experience to incorporate adult sexual content into their lives, unquote, Akins wrote. Quote again, children exposed to sexual content are inherently sexualized. Their innocence and natural gradual assimilation of knowledge are destroyed, unquote. The GLAAD CEO's remarks come not long after leaked footage from a Disney company meeting showed employees expressing similar intentions for children programming. I think I talked about it last 2 weeks and 3 weeks. Yeah. The footage shows a Disney executive producer, Latoya Ravenel, referring to her not at all secret gay agenda. During the meeting, corporate president Carrie Beck also called for upcoming projects to feature more LGBTQIA lead characters. Quote, we have many LGBTQIA characters in our stories, and yet we don't have enough leads, a narrative in which gay characters just get to be characters and not have to be about gay stories, she said. In 2020, the creator of Disney Channel cartoon, The Owl House, admitted the lead character shared her bisexual orientation. The character is reported for the first time the network has featured a bisexual character as the lead. Similarly, in 2021, Nickelodeon, another children's television network, announced it would feature a trans-identified teen in an episode of Danger Force as part of a trans youth acting challenge. In that same year, the network also showcased an animated pride parade using characters from kids' show Blue Clues. In 2021, reboot of the Rugrats children's series, Nickelodeon rewrote one of its heterosexual characters, turning her into a lesbian single mom. FRC's Kickalon urged parents to turn to great alternative programming for kids. They don't have these big budgets and backing of big media, she said, but there's great programming out there for children from Christian sources. So the more they push this, the more you see a response for an alternative. And the best thing parents can do, of course, is just unplug it all and spend time with your children. I agree perfectly. In 2019-2020 GLAAD report, quote, where we are at on TV, unquote, the media watchdog group claimed the role television plays in changing hearts and minds has never been more important. Let me repeat. In their 2019-2020 GLAAD report, where we are at on TV, the media watchdog group claimed the role television plays in changing hearts and minds has never been more important. A 2017 GLAAD-Harris survey of 2,037 adults that reportedly found that one-fifth of Americans ages 18 to 34 and 12% of all adults identify as LGBT or other non-heterosexual, non-biological gender categories. A June 2019 Gallup survey found that Americans tend to overestimate the percentage of how many of their fellow citizens identify as gay or lesbian by a significant margin. So they are coming after our kids. Yes, they are coming after them. Seriously. You see, the things that happen in US network, their screens and all, those are the things we watch here. By the power of technology, so decoders, all these channels I mentioned, they are in Ghana. People watch them here. The children are watching them. So parents have to really understand their gender. I've spoken extensively about this on digital parenting and in other editions on this program. But you see, the seriousness of this thing is now, they are now aggressive. Oh yes, they are aggressive. The devil knows his time is short. So they want to catch them young, poison their minds, destroy them, get them hooked into lifestyles which, if not the grace of God and the mercies of God, you are hooked into serious addiction and very difficult to come out. You see, so you see, they know that when you get them young, it's almost, except the grace of God, it's almost impossible for them to leave that lifestyle. So they are not waiting for them to grow to be adults before they are introduced into it. No, they are targeting them at the early ages. And parents, you see, we are responsible for the children God has given us to take care of. If our negligence and our irresponsibility, we allow our children to fall into these traps the devil is setting for them through technology, God is going to hold us accountable. Because if we had played our roles as parents, responsible parents, our children wouldn't fall into these traps. You see, we have a situation where parents just see these things as, oh, just occupy the children's time, so something to just keep them busy and all that, irrespective of what they are watching. And there's so much ignorance on the side of parents, not understanding these LGBT things and how it's being infused into children programming. I mean, aside the LGBT things, there are a whole lot of serious things on these children programming which are dangerous for children. They are being taught witchcraft. They are being taught occultism. All these things are in the cartoons. I mean, I remember, I've said this before, one Saturday morning, I was home alone then. And I was just flipping just to see what's on. And I just chanced upon one of these free-to-air channels. And it's like witchcraft being taught in cartoons. So my worry and fear was, so if you have some little children sitting behind the TV Saturday morning, their mother is in the kitchen, their father is out, and whoever, I mean, it's like they are home, no school, Saturday, resting, and they are watching this harmlessly and innocently. These children are consuming how to be H from television. I remember one lady in a Sunday school class in church once talked about how she woke up one day, went to the kids' room, 1 a.m., and she found this little boy, around 4 years, crossed legs on the bed and was chanting. And it's like, here comes trouble. Where did this little boy see it from on the TV? You know, don't think they are too young. No. The devil knows they are not too young. That's why he's coming after them. So if we, the Christians, out of our ignorance, we think, oh, they are too young to be harmed. They are, oh, so it doesn't matter. That's the mistake we've made over the years. Oh, enough. Like, we always, it's as if trying to It's like, oh, we are over spiritualizing things. What's the problem? What's the big deal? I mean, this is children. When they watch, what's wrong? It's just cartoons. It's just cartoons. See, these are the statements we've made over the years in defending why there's nothing wrong with it. So even have conflicts in some homes. Husband says it's not good for them to watch. The mother says, well, this one is just careless. It's just children. So back and forth. It's like, okay, let them. You see, the ignorance is ruining the children. Parents should understand the times we are in and the warfare that the devil is waging seriously against the children. Anyway, this is not my main talk for the day, tonight. So, but the next news item, my mind can't, still worrying. Okay, no, I think, oh, don't tell me I left this one. Oh, no, no, no. I left it, I forgot, but I'll see if I can find it here. But let me read this one. The next one is for children too. And then, media watchdog finds disturbing uptick in male full frontal nudity. And this is reaching a tipping point. A non-partisan media watchdog group is warning parents about what it describes as disturbing increase in sexualized TV, movie, and streaming content aimed at younger audiences, pointing to a popular HBO show as a prime example. Research from the Parent Television and Media Council suggests the practice of portraying male genitalia on shows like HBO's Euphoria is on the rise, with contents from just the first couple of episodes of the show's new season including full nude images of more than 30 high school aged boys. The report found Euphoria showed an adult male putting a condom on his erect penis as he prepares to engage in, you know, anal sex with a high school teenager, offering to perform oral on an adult male. And these are for high school children, a program, TV program. And it's being shown. And these channels will have it on their decoders here in Ghana. Some of the decoders have these channels. The group found 21 instances of male nudity in the show's second season, slightly more than 19 examples of female nudity. The show frequently depicts both teen and adult characters engaged in sex, including statutory rape and normalizing pornography, even as industry supports. Reports suggest Euphoria is the youngest skewing drama series on HBO digital platform, according to the Watchdog report. 2019 PTC, that's the Parents Television Council, warned parents that Euphoria appears to be overtly and intentionally marketing extremely graphic adult content. PTC President Tim Winter said the show's creator, Sam Levinson, initially promoted Euphoria by saying parents are going to be freaking out. You know, those swear words. He heralded how many, and then they have underwear again, he was able to put into one scene. This seemed to be a rite of passage for this guy, Winter told the Christian Post. It really seems to be now the shock value. Where is the entertainment integrity? Where is the storytelling? It goes on and on. And this is another warning to parents that they have to be extra careful. And the last news item, let me get it from the net directly. And it's so worrying because it's no longer the children they are destroying, but, you know, they're after the adults as well. But the agenda they are pushing through now, God needs to save this generation, because it's just worrying and it's just sad. Okay, so we go to the state of Utah in the U.S. And that one, I couldn't believe when I read it. Utah's Westminster College offers pornography class where students will watch porn films together. University. I mean, you just realize something is wrong with this generation. So a private liberal arts college in Utah will offer an entire class of porn in the 2022-2023 academic year, and students will watch porn films together as part of the class. Westminster College will offer the class titled Film 300 Zero Porn, and states on its website that hardcore porn is more popular than Sunday night football. Hardcore pornography is as American as apple pie and more popular than Sunday night football. Our approach to this billion-dollar industry is as both a cultural phenomenon that reflects and reinforces sexual inequalities, but holds the potential to change sexual and gender norms, and as an arts form that requires serious contemplation, the course description states. As part of the course, students will watch porn films and discuss the sexuality of race, class, and gender, according to the description. We will watch porn films together and discuss the sexualization of race, class, and gender as an experimental, radical art form, the description states. Students can receive 2 credits for taking the course, according to the college's website. The class will be offered during the 2022-2023 academic year, according to the undergraduate catalog. A spokesperson for the college told Fox News Digital that it occasionally offers elective courses like this as an opportunity to analyze social issues. The world is in trouble. The world is in serious trouble. Because you realize now good is bad and bad is good. This is Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this short break. Interesting song that really depicts the times we are in.
Look up, yeah. These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of a desolation. Look up, your redemption draw near. When he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. You will know, and you believe all he says. Look up, your redemption draws near. Look up,
look up, your redemption draws near. Look up, your redemption draws near.
Song, look up. You know, I just like that song. It says it all. A perfect summary. The times we are in. You know, a lot is happening, but sometimes people don't really understand what is happening and what to make out of. What they are reading, what they are hearing. But the truth is, we are not in ordinary times. Today I want to bring something from a biblical perspective regarding some of the things we are seeing around us and all that, and the basis behind it. You know, I played a file last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I believe, where the president of US was talking about the, maybe, I mean, where's that one? Where's that one? The U.S. president. Think if I can find that file. Where he was talking about the New World Order and all. But then I also played a file when they did the World Government Summit in Dubai this year, a few weeks ago in Dubai. But the first speaker, let me just play that one. It's just a short file. And then...
But here it is, day one, World Government Summit yesterday in Dubai. Here's the first session. Are we ready for a new world order?
And the title of this session, Are We Ready for a New World Order? Well, the organizers here are nothing if not ambitious. This is, I think you will agree, a daunting subject for discussion at just after 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning here in the relative calm of Expo 2020. But tackle it, we must.
Yes.
Because I believe what is clear is that we have hit an inflection point.
Ooh, wait a minute.
We are certainly living in a unique age of uncertainty and volatility in global affairs.
Huh, that is weird because it's almost exactly what Joe Biden said last week. Remember, we are at an inflection point that only happens once in a generation, maybe a little longer.
Yeah, so are we ready for the new world order? That was a question the woman asked. And that's the reality, you know. But let me get back into the Bible so that we can make sense of all that we talk about. Let's get into Genesis chapter 11. And we'll start from 1. We all know the story of the Tower of Babel, but let's get an understanding from there. So 11 from 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And then they had brick for stone and slime that they used for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Yeah, I mean, I believe it's more of like into the clouds. And let us make as a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Key word, let us make as a name. Their motive was wrong. And let us be, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the earth. This was not God's plan. God's plan was the world, they should be scattered on the face of the earth. But they say, no, we will not. Let's come together. We are one. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain them from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and have, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So we all know this story, very popular one. So this is the genesis of it. This was the plan of God. And, you know, you read Genesis 1 verse 28, it says, and the Lord blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So this was God's blueprint for the world. Now we get to verse 11, the people say, no, we will not allow ourselves to be scattered. Then God intervened and scattered them. Fast forward, 2022, here we are. A new world order is being built, is being planned. It's also called the Great Reset. It's also being called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But the underpinning factor is they want to go back to the concept of the Tower of Babel. Not to build a tower this time around, but the oneness. We are one. So that's the essence of one world, one religion, one currency, one political leader, one religious leader. That's the whole essence of it. So going back to the basis, what God said, no, they say, no, we'll go back. And so this whole, I mean, I know some of you don't understand this. So what's the new world order? It's just some statements over the years. So people said it's conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory. It's no longer conspiracy theory. Now they are saying it plainly in our faces. They are asking, I mean, are we ready for it? And see, the summit, the name of the summit is World Government Summit. World Government Summit. You see, so it's been happening. This was the eighth one. Others were a bit low-key. But now, as the time is getting more, you know, closer and closer, it's now becoming more open. And the topics are becoming more obvious. And the speakers are expressing themselves more bluntly and openly. But as Christians, we shouldn't be left in the dark. We have to understand what is happening and what it means to what the Bible says. You see, so let's get it from the Tower of Babel concept. So they were there, we are one. Unity, one. Now they get scattered. Now, this whole agenda for the globalists is to have a one system again. And not just one system alone, but the agenda to, if you read, when I read Genesis 1:28, replenish the earth. Now they say no. We are not going to replenish. So, pushing the LGBT, the actual agenda for the LGBT is to stop procreation in the earth. I guess some of you are not aware, but that's the actual agenda behind it. So, they are pushing it, not just the fun of sexual enjoyment, whatever that people are having, no. The aim of the people behind it, the real manipulators and the proponents and those who are really advocating for it and all, the globalists who are really pushing the thing, their aim is to stop procreation in the world, because they are of the view that they won't go by Genesis 1:28, no. So that then nobody is giving birth. As much as they can, they want to stop it. This is their plan. I mean, and their documents and all. This is their ultimate plan. So it's about creating a new world. That's why it's like new world. A new world order. The current order that we are in now, the existing one we know, they believe is the God type of order. So this new one they want to recreate is the one that God will be kicked out of the scene. That's where persecution against Christians is going to come in, because they will not want to have anything to do with both God and Christian and godly Jesus. No. So this is a pure non-Christian, anti-God, anti-Christ one world. That's the new world order. That's what it means. So it's not a place for Christians. It's a world they are creating. Their vision is there will be nothing God in there. There will be no room for Christians. There will be no room for the Bible. So I believe some of you have heard before that, persecution will come, a time will come that Bibles will be banned and all. Yes, we are headed towards that place. That is exactly what we do. You see, so having that new world order, it's an order. So it's like a new system. To them, the old one should be reorganized. So that's why they also call it the Great Reset. So reset the world to the way they want it. Not the way as it is now, no. To the way they want it. No God, no Christ, no Christian something, no Bible. Live as you want and you'll be happy. And live under the dictates of their system, where you are manipulated, you are controlled, and don't do this, do that, sleep here, don't sleep here. A fully controlled system. So that's where you have the one currency or digital currency, one world, one religious leader. That's the false prophet. Then the political leader, Christ. I mean, so the whole thing is a planned thing that they are pushing gradually. So when you have world leaders starting about it openly, it is time for the church to be serious and know the times we are in. It is time to understand the game that they are playing. They know what they are doing. They know all that they are doing. Nothing is just coincidental. No. You see, they human beings, men, think they are wiser than God. Yes, they think they are wiser than God. They think they can outsmart God. So the things they are doing, they think, oh yes, they are going to win at the end of the day. Interestingly and ignorantly on their side, they don't know that what they are doing is also fulfilling scripture. At the end of the day, Bible has to come to pass. Bible prophecy has to come to pass. But it will also take some people to cause it to come to pass. Because if some people do not act the way they are acting, then some things will not happen. So they are doing things that has to be done that will cause the Bible to be fulfilled in various ways. So we are living at a point where they are working seriously to push the Great Reset. And technically, they've started it. Yes, they've started it. When COVID started, that was when Professor Schwab, the leader of the World Economic Forum, they have the major proponent, they have the main people leading this whole agenda. So they started it, and he said, the COVID presents the perfect opportunity to reset the world. And so they were happy about the whole COVID thing, and they used it to test a lot of things. These lockdowns and all were test cases to see how they can test things, how the world can be controlled, how societies can be controlled. A lot. So the last 3 years, a lot has happened in the last 3 years. We are moving into a new phase. And that is where now they are now coming out boldly, shamelessly, full of authority. And this is also the time where the notch is taken to another level in terms of the state of the world, the difficulties, the economic conditions. You see, to them, to rebuild or to recreate or reset the world, you first have to destroy it. Not destroy it with, like, I mean, they can't destroy the whole world, but to, like, spoil things, and then that's what they call build back better. So crash the world economies, create the food crisis, create chaos, and then out of that rises their leader to bring solutions and peace onto the earth. This is how things are planned. Fortunately for us believers, we can understand exactly that's how the Bible also talks about. As the times, the things we see prior to the coming of Christ and all. So we are living at very, very interesting times. So when we understand what is happening around us, we see what in the news, we read what's in the news, and we read our Bible, we should understand where we are, that we are not in ordinary times. We shouldn't walk in ignorance. See, so when you understand these things, we are careful to walk in wisdom and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. You know, one other thing they are pushing serious, this transhumanism. Transhumanism. Let me just read one of their definitions a bit. And so you have transhumanism is, the proponents of transhumanism define the philosophical movement as a philosophical and intellectual movement which advocates for the enhancement of the human condition by developing and making widely available sophisticated technologies that can greatly enhance longevity and cognition, unquote. In layman's terms, this means an attempt to technologically alter human beings so that they go far beyond the boundaries of normal human life in order to live in ways to achieve things formerly hindered by human biology. Whilst it is true that technology is used to help people who are suffering with health issues, the transhumanist ideology goes beyond the repairing of bodies to the alteration and artificial enhancement of or thereof. A quick scan of transhumanist supports online will turn up everything from seemingly mild addictions to its additions to human functionality, like pain with subdermal chips, or like being chips in the fingers, on the thumbs or in the hand for payments, and all these things. The World Economic Forum has been pushing the transhumanist agenda for some, even opining at the Davos in 2020 that humans may soon become cyborgs, quote unquote, cyborgs. Cyborg is, those fictional action movies years back. And so it's like human robot combination, that's what we call cyborg. What they mean, not like become robots, but the interconnectivity, putting chip in human beings is what they are talking about. That chip is connected to the internet, which is called, they are looking at the Internet of Things, IoT. And IoT is where we have devices connected. So your phone is connected to your microwave to the fridge. Everything's on the internet. Then your chip is in your hand. You can make payments from your hand. I believe you've heard about the RFID chip and all over the year. Yes, that's what they are pushing. The World Economic Forum is really spearheading that. They believe at a point in time, the world will need it. All human beings will need it. Interesting. Very interesting times. You see, so ultimately, they want a system that is anti-God. So to be anti-God means it should be human ideas, their plans for the world. And that's what they are pushing. Seriously pushing. Behind the scenes, if you read their reports, you'll be amazed at some of the things they talk about. Oh yes, you'll be amazed. They really think they are God. Yes, they think they are God. They think they can do what they want. Sometimes I get amazed as to how they think, who they think they are. Because it's like, let's reset the world. We don't like this world. We want it our way. This order, current order, where it is God. The laws of almost every country has God as the foundation, like biblical, God. So in the name of God Almighty, in the name of God, blah, 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 I solemnly swear, God in our constitutions, a whole lot of countries, God is the foundation of countries. laws, constitutions, and all. They don't want this God order, as they call it now. The current old school order. No. They want the new order. So that's what it's called, the new world order. So this new world order, that's where the, you know, this LGBT thing to be the standardized life, where transhumanism, artificial intelligence, I mean, it's all about their plans, their big plans for the world. And Christian will have no role to play because the Christian cannot fit into such a system. So it's obvious that with such system being planned, then indeed, the end is really, really much closer than we are thinking. Let me give talk about, last 2 weeks I think I talked about it briefly, it was in the news, but let me explain it a bit more. The digital currency, the World Summit, World Government Summit, it was extensively discussed. And a number of countries, virtually almost 3/4 of the world per population, countrywide, I mean, have signed up to it already. Ghana, we have signed up to it. Nigeria, they've done their demo. E-Naira, Ghana is doing the ECD. Countries have signed up, left with a few, but eventually, almost all countries will sign up to it. And the plan is, with this digital currency, eventually, it will be linked to the whole system. So your national ID, your SIM card, I'm talking, you can imagine, you know, you can understand where we are now already, you know, we are linking. Your phone card, your SIM card, national ID, we are linking. Yes, we are going. But we'll get to a point where, yes, that one, we'll be linking, and then eventually everything is linked. So we'll get to a point where if you don't agree to the system, or to whatever they say do, if you say you will not do, bow, you will not bow. Do, you will not do. Okay. Then you can be taken off the system, within the system. Because it's digital. So if the database, your name is blocked in the database, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. Because your entire record, everything about you is linked into one system. So if you are blocked in the system, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. This is the ultimate plan that they have. And it's not a secret. You see, they are not hiding anything. Everything, they throw everything out there for those who believe it to believe it. Because they know, I mean, people don't really, you know, they don't care. Whether you believe it or not, they don't care. They are saying it and they are doing it. And countries are testing it. As we talk now, countries are testing it, including our country. You see, so we are getting there one step at a time. The convergence point. It's like everything is coming together. The picture is becoming clearer and clearer about where we are and the times we are in. You see, so when we understand these things happening around us, nothing should surprise us. Yes, nothing should surprise us. I've said it earlier and I'll say it again, like this food crisis that is happening in the world now, it is human induced. Yes, because it's part of their plans. Create the chaos, create the confusion, create difficulties, destroy economies, and then you build back better. And to them, they've been saying it. I believe some of you have heard it. It's not a joke. To them, the world population is too much. And the annoying thing is, who do they think they are? That you can say the world population is too much. So it should be reduced to a certain number to have the optimum population for the new world order. That's what they are thinking. They are not hiding it. You see, so they are putting in measures to ensure the world population is reduced. And food is one of the things, it's part of the plan. So you see, as I said earlier, see, it when it looks like things are improving, then shim, they drop something into it that would take us back again and worsen the problem. So it looks like, oh, things are improving. Because the system is being done in a way that the things should not improve. It shouldn't improve because they want the problem to come. So like the sanctions, the Russia sanctions, for instance, it makes no sense a lot of the sanctions on Russia makes no sense, because it will just come back to affect your population anyway. But look at what they've done. They don't care. I mean, to them, the name of the sanctions is being done at the detriment of their economies. You talk to people in Europe, talk to people in the US, and let them tell you what's happening there. The shortage, the food, the queues, the empty shelves. It's a reality. It's happening. And you see, they know, the world leaders, these leaders, they know that their actions is going to cause these things. Yet, they are going ahead. They've gone ahead and they've done this, put these sanctions on Russia. So, the effect is a planned thing, and we are seeing it. Oh, yes, we are seeing it. So, see, when we understand what they are doing, then we understand that these are not time to live a casual Christian life. These are not time to just joke with your Christianity. We are at a point where if you're a Christian, you have to be a Christian, head on, fully serious Christian. Because the hour is very late. I mean, the hour is very late. If you still don't understand it that way, the hour is very late. They know the game they are playing. Sadly, the Christians don't know the game they are playing. Most Christians don't know the game they are playing. We think a lot of things happening are just ordinary. No. Everything is planned. They think it's planned on their side. They are wise. But they do know that, yes, it's also going parallel with our Bible prophecies. So, what we are seeing is Bible prophecies unfolding in various ways. Yes. And at the end of the day, Christ wins. That's a good thing. I mean, they can do all they want to do. At the end of the day, it's Christ who wins. So we should be wise as serpents in these days we are in. We should be wise and know that it's not just coincidence when you see this is happening and this is happening in this country. No, it's not coincidence. It's all schemed and planned for such a time as this, for these things to be happening, ultimately to push their plan to the next level. And this is this one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. Ultimately, they want to control humanity, want to control humans. As to what they want to achieve by controlling humans, I can't understand it, but that's their plan. They want to control humans. That's why they would want to have a chip in you, so that when you say you will not do this, they can just turn you off. You can't buy or you can't sell. You are out of the system. You are blocked. You see, just look at, let me give you a scenario. Your national ID is linked to your passport. It's linked to your driving license. It's linked to your health insurance. It's linked to your pension card. It's linked to whatever card. It's linked to your bank account. It's linked to your mobile money account. It's linked to your phone number, your phone numbers, whatever. So if you type your name, it comes. If your account, your name is disabled or suspended, blocked, whatever word it is, all the other parameters linked to it is blocked. So when you are blocked in the system, you are blocked. You cannot do anything relating to all these systems I mentioned. Your account is locked. Your phone number is locked. Your Momo is locked. Because you've been blocked in the system. So you cannot buy. You cannot sell. That's the system they are working towards. And we are seeing it. I mean, it's just amazing. When you see some of the news, it's just amazing. But, well, it has to happen. Okay, I believe some of you have understood some of the things happening. And let me see, I have some messages. Okay, there are some I can respond to later because the time is almost gone. But don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. Be encouraged that the word of God is very, very true. The word of God is very true. That should give you that hope and excitement that you are serving a living God. And, well, as the song said, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, what's the essence of being a Christian all these years, and when it matters most, you are not ready for it. You are found wanting. So let's be Christians till the very end. Let's end the year, God willing. Next week I'll be coming your way, God willing. This file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info, the Telegram group. It will also be there. I'm Eben, and I believe you've been blessed. Good night, and God bless you.
Look up, yeah. These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give for deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of a desolation. Look up, your redemption journey. When he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. You will know, and you believe all he says. Look up, your redemption draws near. Look up your redemption.